We are in the midst of a seven-week series in which we're looking at the seven habits of highly effective Christians. Stole the idea, obviously, from Stephen Covey's book that was familiar, popular some years back, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, and we've applied it in our own way. The first habit that we looked at was the habit of prayer. The second habit was the habit of Bible study. And now this morning, I want us to look at the third habit of highly effective Christians, and that is the habit of, the habit of worship. Look with me, if you will, in Psalm 95, beginning at verse 1, as we look at the third habit of highly effective Christians, that's the habit of worship. Psalm 95, as we begin at verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth, the peaks of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for it was He who made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. I want us to look at that text as we learn some important aspects of worship as we try to enhance our ability to take on this effective habit of worship. And the first thing that I want you to notice is that we worship together. You see there in the first couple of verses, verse 1, come let us sing for the joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence. Let us shout joyfully. You see, the emphasis on in these verses, and by the way, the emphasis in most passages of Scripture that talk about worship, most of the time when the Bible talks about worship, it talks about it in a plural sense. It talks about corporate worship, when the body gets together. Now, I know there's always somebody who says, well, I do it my way. I can worship God by myself out walking in the woods. And the truth is, yes, you can, but I'll bet you really don't. Yes, you can. You can worship by yourself, all by yourself, do your own thing. You never have to step foot in a church and you can worship. But Scripture tells us to worship together. It calls us to do that. He says, let us sing. Let us shout. Let us come before His presence. Let us shout joyfully. Even in Hebrews, it makes it very clear, doesn't it? Some people have gotten out of the habit of meeting for worship, but we must not do that. That's the contemporary English version that sums that up so well. Some people have gotten out of the habit of meeting for worship, and Paul says, don't do that. It's important for us to worship together. That's a vitally important part of the habit of real worship. Not only do we worship together, but we worship vocally. You see, he says, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. There's something to be said and something to be sung when we come to worship Him. Someone might not like it if they hear me sing. I don't sing well, and somebody might not like hearing me sing. Or if I say amen, somebody might not like that. That might rub them the wrong way. You know what? You're not doing it for them. You're not singing for the person next to you. You're not saying amen for the person next to you. And by the way, the opposite is true also. If you sing because you think you sing pretty and you want everybody around you to hear you, or if you shout out amen just to get attention, you're doing exactly the same thing. You're doing it for the people around you. So you don't decide what to sing and what to say based on others around you. You decide what to sing and what to say based on whether or not you're ready to worship an Almighty God. You see, it's for Him. and him alone. Bill Moyers got invited to have dinner with the president one time. He went into the White House in there in the residential area, and they sat down to dinner. The president asked Bill to pray the blessing. And so Bill Moyers began to pray the blessing, and president interrupted. He said, "Bill, speak up, speak up." And without looking up, without turning his head or without changing his voice, Bill Moyers stopped, and he said, "I wasn't addressing you, Mr. President." And then he continued. I think he kind of had the right idea, don't you? When we praise, when we worship, when we pray, when we sing, it is a communication with God. It's a way to worship him, and he's the only one worthy of our worship. The famous violinist was holding he was playing in a recital, I guess you'd say, and his teacher was a master violinist. One of his performances at this great concert hall, the young protege performed his best ever. His sound was sharp, his tone was crisp, his handling of movements and style drew the audience into a musical story. After his final note, it started strong and faded into silence. There was just this momentary hush throughout the whole great hall, and then all of a sudden, the just thunderous applause and standing ovation. You'd expect that young player just to enjoy that and to break out in a smile and just to love all the accolades and take bows and satisfaction. But instead, he looked toward the balcony. He strained against that spotlight that was shining on him so that he could look and see if he could find the face of his master teacher. And seeing that his master had stood with the crowd and was giving him a standing ovation, then the young student proceeded to acknowledge the crowd and bow before them. You see, it didn't matter what the crowd felt if his master wasn't pleased. That is the essence of worship. It doesn't matter what the crowd feels if the master is not pleased. We are here to worship him, and that needs to become a part of our habit. It needs to become a part of our lives, that we serve the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the master of all that is, the creator of all that exists. He is worthy of our worship. See, we worship together. We worship vocally. What we say, what we sing is for him. And we worship in a variety of ways. In verse 2, it says, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms." You see, we worship by giving thanks. That's a part of worship. We come to gratefully acknowledge what God has done. We also come singing. He says, "Let us shout joyfully with the psalms." We use the songs as a part of worship. We worship in a variety of ways. We give thanks, we pray, we read, we talk, we sing. But remember, those are the vehicles. Music, for example, music is not worship. Music is the vehicle that we use to get us to the destination of worship. Because worship does not take place in the vocal cords, it takes place in the heart. Music is that vehicle which drives us to a place and gives us the structure by which we can have a connection spirit to spirit with God. It is in that time, in that moment when we connect spirit to spirit, that we can begin to worship. And so we use a variety of different ways to worship in order to get us to that spot where we can honor him fully. You see, we worship together. We worship vocally. We worship in a variety of ways, sometimes giving thanks, sometimes shouting, sometimes singing the psalms. And then we worship because of who God is. There's a reason for us to make this a habit. The reason we make worship a habit is because of who he is. Look at these next few verses, beginning at 3. For the Lord, for means you do this because. This is why you're going to sing and shout and give thanks. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth and the peaks of the mountains are His also. In other words, everything from low to high and everything in between is His. That's what the author is using there. He's using a poetic way of saying, you go down as far as you want and you go up as high as you want, and everything in between sits in the palm of the Almighty's hand. He does the same, a similar thing in the next verse. He says, the sea is His, for it was He who made it, and His hands formed the dry land. You know, I've noticed something about this earth. Everything that I can see is either wet or dry. He says, the seas are His. Everything that's wet belongs to God. And everything that's dry is His as well. You see, all that exists is His because He created it. It belongs to Him. That speaks of why He is worthy of our worship. By the way, did you know that's where the word worship comes from? The word worship means worth-ship. It comes from an old English word that simply meant this: the receiver of this is worth it. God is worthy of our worship. That's why we do it, because of who He is, because He is worthy. Psalm 48 says, great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. And by the way, there are at least three other psalms that use that exact same verbiage. There are four psalms at least who say, great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. In Revelation 4, remember, the text reminds us as we praise Him, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. The reason we worship is because of who He is. He is worthy of our worship. And because He's worthy of it, He desires it, He deserves it, and He demands it. He is worthy of it, so He desires it, deserves it, and He demands it. We worship together. We worship vocally. We worship in a variety of ways. We worship because of who God is, and we worship actively. Look at verse 6. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Scripture tells us to raise our hands, to clap our hands, to lay down prostrate before God. It tells us to kneel, to stand, to bow. Scripture tells us to play instruments, even drums. It tells us to sing, to shout. It tells us even to dance. Did you know David danced before the Lord? He wasn't Baptist. I think he was Methodist. It's okay. He danced before the Lord, and Scripture tells us to do so. In other words, worship is, it should be an active experience. We should be putting something of ourselves into it. There should be some kind of activity. Sometimes we bow, sometimes we kneel, sometimes we stand, sometimes we sing. But Scripture tells us it's okay to raise your hand to worship God. He sees it as a holy thing. We're the only ones who decided it was goofy. God said, do it. You see, there's an active part of that. There's an active part of worship that says, God, this is so much more than just coming to see a show. I'm going to be an active participant in it. I don't want to just watch it happen around me. I want to be involved in it. I want to be a participant, not a spectator. You come to worship, not to listen to someone else worship. You've come to worship, and so you get involved and you participate. You become actively involved in that worship experience. Not only do we worship actively, but we also worship because of who we are. You remember just a moment I told you that we worship because of who God is? We also worship because of who we are. Look at verse 7. For He is our God, And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. That's why we worship. Because he is God and we are not. You see, worship reminds us of that relationship. It clarifies for us where we stand before a holy God. Without worship, it's too easy for us to think too highly of ourselves and not enough about God. We worship because that reminds us that he is God and we are not. I read once about a man who went through an art gallery and he came upon a picture of the Lord Jesus dying on the cross. He stopped and looked at the beautiful portrait there of Calvary's love, and as he stared into the face of Christ that was so full of agony, the gallery guard tapped him on the shoulder, and the guard said, "Lower." The artist painted this picture to be appreciated from a lower position. So the man bent down and he was looking at the picture, and the guard said, "Lower, lower still." The man knelt down on one knee and he looked up at the face of Christ, and from this new vantage point, he could see that things were kind of beginning to change in the picture, and the guard motioned with his flashlight toward the ground. He said, "Lower, you've got to get lower." The man now finally dropped down on both knees and he looked up, and only then, as he looked up into the painting from such a low position, could he realize what the artist really intended. And he looked and he saw such a powerful look of love on Jesus' face that the whole thing became clear. But he could only see it, only fully understand it from a humble position. I remember when we got to go to Israel, we went to the church that is established there in Bethlehem that is believed to be the spot where the manger was, where Jesus was actually born. And you can go in there and look around and learn and see, but in order to go in, you've got to go through a door that's about like this. I'm 6 feet tall. And this door was about here, so I'm going to guess about 4 feet tall. I remember that we had to duck to go in. And then I found out that that wasn't an architectural mistake. That was by design. The architect thought, if you're going to come into this holy place, you should bow before you enter. You see, it's an act of worship. Worship reminds us that he is God. And we are not. We are but the sheep of his pasture. He holds us in his hand, and therefore we worship him. Worship happens when a humble person expresses awe in a holy God. Think about that for just a second. Worship happens when a humble person expresses awe in a holy God. One of the things that we're doing as we go through the series is I give you, at the end of each message, I give you a few suggestions for establishing that habit. And so let me just finish with giving you just a few quick suggestions for establishing the habit of worship. The first thing that I would encourage you to do is to worship privately and corporately. There is a time for private worship. When you're driving down the highway, it's absolutely fine to sing that song out to Jesus as you drive. If you begin to pray while you drive, you might do that with your eyes open. That might be a good idea. But it's okay and it's worthwhile and it's biblical to worship privately. But we worship privately and we worship corporately. Find those opportunities through the day just to stop and say, "Wow, God, you're great. Thank you." And you have already begun to worship. That's your private worship time. You can do that in your private devotional time, but you can do it all day as well. But then also don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Corporate worship is important as well. The second thing that I would say to you as a means of establishing the habit of worship, I would encourage you to prepare for worship. See, I think we kind of make a mistake sometimes, and that is we think that worship happens in this room. Therefore, I got to take care of all the other stuff I got to take care of. I got to get the kids fed and breakfast. I got to get the car. I got to get up here. And then once I get into the room, then somebody is going to lead worship. And then after somebody leads worship, I will have worshiped, and then I can leave. The reality is, if you are not prepared to worship, you probably won't. The reality is, no matter who says what or sings what or plays what, if you're not worshiping in your heart, you haven't worshiped. Therefore, I would encourage you, before you ever show up for church, to prepare. God, I'm open to whatever you have today. Help me to understand you better. Help me to hear you if you speak. And whatever you have in store for us today, don't let me miss it. And then you come in and you take just a second to get maybe a little quiet so that you can hear what's going on if the Spirit speaks. And then worship begins. I want to encourage you to prepare for worship. Then another suggestion that I might give you is to, when you come to worship, come to bless instead of to be blessed. We so often say, what'd you get out of worship today? I'm not quite as concerned about what you get out of it as I am about what God gets out of it, because it's really supposed to be for Him. When you come, are you here to say, what can I get? What are they going to give me? What are they going to teach me? What am I going to learn? How am I going to feel? Or are you here to say, God, what would you like for me to give to you? How can I bless you? How can I make you feel? Come to bless instead of to be blessed. And then the last suggestion, let me just share this with you. I'd encourage you to avoid the temptation of evaluation instead of participation. That's a temptation. The temptation of evaluation instead of participation. We come in and we sit and we say, okay, let's see if the musician gets this right. You know, I don't think I like that song. I like a different song. Why did they play it so fast? Why did they play it so slow? Why is that preacher going on and on? What kind of story was that? That wasn't funny. He didn't say that right. It's real easy to slip into evaluation instead of participation. And then when we leave, we're a great critic, but we're not much of a worshiper. So a suggestion to help establish the habit of worship: avoid the temptation of evaluation instead of participation. Worship is a vitally important part of the life of a Christian. And because it is so important, we worship together. We worship verbally, vocally. We worship in different ways. We worship because of who God is. We worship actively. And we worship because of who we are. As we think about who we are in relation to who He is, I wonder if the Lord might say something to you today. I wonder if the Lord might say to you, I made you. I'm the King. You're a sheep in my pasture. I wonder if the Lord might say to you, I sure wish you'd trust me. I wish you'd let me be God in your life. Could it be that the Lord is calling you today, as we talk about worship and our relationship with Him? Could it be He's using that to speak to your heart and say, today is the day for you to once and for all commit to following Jesus to become one of mine? If this is that day for you, we want to give you that opportunity where you can say, I choose today to follow Jesus. I believe He died for me, and I want to worship Him the rest of my life and for all eternity. If that is your experience today and you're ready to trust in Christ, in just a moment we're going to sing, and I hope you'll come. Let me or Phil pray with you, guide you through that process in which you can trust in the Lord. It may be as well that you're already a Christian and that part's already settled for you, but maybe he calls you to some kind of recommitment. Maybe he calls you to join our church. Perhaps he's calling you into missions or ministry. As an act of worship, would you come and commit your life to whatever he's calling you to do today? Let's stand together as we sing our song of invitation. We have a great chorus about the heart of worship and what it means. And as we sing, if God calls you, don't hesitate. Don't wait till next week or next month. If God's working now, that means now's the time for you. Come, let's pray. Let's talk.